Praise you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful night. We praise you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time because it's going to be about you, for you, and you're leading us into. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you for these times that we are in, Lord of God. We're seeing some mighty things and some things that a few years ago we wouldn't believe could happen. And Lord, we just praise you, glorify you. It's going to get even better, that you're going to open up the heavens. And we're just all going to have a great time in you, and it's going to be an awesome time in the world to watch the revival that's going to take place. It's probably taking place in places right now. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for bringing down our enemies, bringing down the internet enemies. And we thank you, Father, for doing everything that we have prayed for, bringing it about. And we praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for setting the captives free. And tonight, Lord, we just ask that you lead us and guide us into what you want us to speak and talk about. And I praise you, glorify you for an open heaven, Lord, that when we pray, that our prayers are answered. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for doing everything that you have said you were going to do, because we believe and we endure in our faith to see it happen. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests or testimonies? I got a testimony. I don't know if I shared it the last time, but on the phone. I got an email, a text. Y'all remember Katie, don't you? Katie and Tim? I didn't give that testimony, did I? Okay. It's a great one. It's a great one. You remember that we had to break the team. He had a little bit of a relapse there. But listen to this. Y'all ready? Said, hey, Michael, boy, do I have an update for you. This is Katie. So there is this place called Total. I won't mention the whole name of it. It's basically a discipleship school slash rehab alternative program that's 100% centered on Jesus for people who struggle with addiction. They believe in casting out demons, healing, all the gifts of the Spirit and power, etc. And it's a full fellowship with families that live right there that help out and commune with them all. My husband, Tim, went there a little over 2 weeks ago. Praise God. He did it cold turkey. 100%. And I had asked him if he wanted to go detox first to help with the withdrawal. But he said no and just went on faith. He was on prescription methadone from the doctors to help him not relapse. But he felt the Lord tell him over and over to get off the methadone. But the withdrawal from it can be nasty. They're actually worse than the street drugs. I got to talk with him a week ago when I asked him how he's feeling. He just laughed and said that God showed him so much mercy that he only had 2 or 3 days of withdrawal and that he just praised God through it, that he was delivered from it. Which is amazing. It should last weeks. But God, she says. She said, I got to see him yesterday and he looks and talks like a brand new man. Praise God. He feels like he can fully hear the Lord now with no block in the way and just thriving and shining. Glory to God. And everything he said was all about the Lord. And it's all he can talk about now. She said, I'm loving it. He is journaling as well and has already written down so many testimonies that have happened in just these past 2 weeks. The program is 9 months long, and we're just both excited for what the Lord is doing, is going to keep doing here. I get to see him for 8 hours every Sunday and join in their fellowship as well, and it's such a huge blessing. The world told him he needed all these things and that he was the worst case scenario and virtually hopeless with his drug addiction. But all he needed was the Lord. Hallelujah, she said. Praise God. And then she sent me some pictures of Tim and the baby. I don't know if y'all can see them. I'll see if I can get them up here so y'all can see them. Can y'all see that? Very good. Yeah. That's him and the baby. I forget the baby's name. That's the one me and David blessed. And let's see. Here he is up close. Let's see if you can see that. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. She said, amen. I've been praying this whole time that the Lord just uses this all for his glory and that people will be moved by the testimony. I really believe and feel this will greatly impact Tim's family as well. And if they visit him there, they will be surrounded by other believers in fellowship. Praise God forevermore. Lord, we just lift up Tim and Katie and the baby to you right now. We thank you, Father, for this walk that you've got him on. I just don't believe he's going to have to go through the whole 9 months. I think probably he'll probably be out there helping them, doing the same thing for other people. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to put this family back together sooner than they think. And they're going to have a wonderful, awesome time from this point on because he's got his eyes locked on you. And I praise you for the complete deliverance of Tim from this spirit of addiction in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the victory for Katie and Tim and the baby in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That's, you know, we prayed for him. Remember that? We prayed for Tim. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got one? Testimony or a prayer request or whatever. Okay, I'm gonna pray one more. Y'all believe with me. Y'all gonna believe with me? I know you will. Lord, I thank you for sending those angels out there to take down every negative sight against you being with David. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for taking the rib wire from down. Kevin's down, and any of the rest of them out there, Father, that are negative toward UBM's teachings. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for multiplying the books over there in the Middle East and in Africa. Multiplying the books, having the angels go over there and just put them where they need them. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that your word says if you pray and you believe what you pray, you shall receive it. I know they are doing that even as we speak right now. Glory to God, that the books are being multiplied. Thank you, Lord, for sending the angels out there. We send the angels out there to already do that. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for placing it in the hearts of all the missionaries over there to start believing God for everything. For their provisions, for their protection, for their leading, for God's leading in their lives, to teach, lead them to do the things that you want them to do, Father God. They're in dangerous territory. And I thank you, Father, for filling them all with the Holy Spirit. And I would ask, Lord, that you place it in the leadership's mind to make it a requisite that they all be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because, Lord, we know that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit will lead you to wherever the meetings are rather than having to broadcast it. And I thank you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. That's why David Holman's bus does down in Mexico. They don't have a schedule. They just tell everybody, well, just ask the Holy Spirit where the meeting's going to be. And they'll ask him, the Holy Spirit will lead him right to the meeting. And that's, we're going to be seeing something out here locally, everywhere. That's going to be something that's going to be used and utilized. The spirit realm is going to be exponentially a part of our lives during this time. Yeah, Andrew. Well, that's okay.
Are they being water baptized?
But yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I just never heard it mentioned whether they were or not.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the, you know, that's part of the requisite is to be baptized in water. And
yeah.
They probably have to do it in a water trough, but, you know, there's not a whole lot of water right there where they're at. But anyway, yeah, I think so, Andrew. Well, I'm almost certain of it. I'm almost certain of it. Because I've heard him talking about it. All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer? Yeah, Benita.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to pray for my dad. He, since he came back from Iceland, he's had a cough and he's got just a very mild fever and he's gone to the doctor and gotten some antibiotics. And, I just wanted to pray healing on him, Lord. I just pray that you just do a quick work in my dad. We just bind up all these spirits of infirmity on him and any witchcraft or anything that's not of Christ, Lord. We just bind up those spirits and Lord, that you would just open his eyes and that he would come to know you, Lord. And, just do a quick work there so that we can have the fellowship that, I've been desiring to have with him in the truth. And Lord, that he will just not even need these antibiotics. He can just put those away. He was debating whether he should take them or not in a second round and he just won't even need them, Lord. They'll just, it's be a quick work here. Praise you and thank you, Lord, and for your work in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank you, Lord, for bringing them into the kingdom. Amen. I believe it. Can I pray for him, Anita? You mind if I pray for him?
Oh, I would love that. Yes, please. Thank you.
What's his name?
His name is Hemet.
Well, Lord, we lift up Hemet to you and we praise you, Father, for this soul that is fixing to get saved. And I thank you for it, Father. You said when we pray, we believe what we pray, we shall have it. And I'm just believing right now. I break the power of religiosity off of him. I break the power of doubt and unbelief off of him. I break the power of Satan off of him that would keep him from coming into the kingdom. And Lord, I thank you for granting repentance and bringing him in. In Jesus' name. And Father, we're going to shout the victory because we know it's going to happen. And I send the angels right now, the Lord of the harvest, to send somebody in front of him that would change him and guide him into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that it is done, glory to God. And I believe it. Y'all believe that? Him that you come on into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Be filled with the Holy Spirit too. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
I believe it, and I believe we're going to see it done on this outreach in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm going to pray. Please just all agree with me. Thank you, Father, for a gracious journey me by getting rid of this last bit of flesh, Thank you, Lord. I don't want that, but it's not far off me. For a time, for Jesus, I've died to everything at the cross, to nothing there. Thank you for but my friend, to my family, to grieve me, get this last bit of flesh out of me. I'm going to be a spirit now. Thank you, Father, for working at me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I agree. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for putting love in all of us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I think that's what you were asking for, wasn't it? Praying about it. That's good enough. Thank you, Jesus. I've been praying that too, Joe. And he put more of that into me. All right. Anyone else? You know, when love in your heart is directly tied to faith also. The more love for the people that you have, the more faith you're going to have. To believe. That's part of it. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Pat.
I'd like to add to our prayers for Tim in this time. Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing in him and his family. Lord, I just ask that you would strengthen him through this time and anchor him down in your word. And thank you for the power of the Spirit that you're working things in his life and bringing him into a higher sensitivity of your presence and the Holy Spirit and the power that you give, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that also in this time that you would, I'm thinking of the fact that the devil, first thing the devil wants to do is try to take that away, that which you have given us. And Lord, so I'm asking that you would grant him the strength of your word, lead him into your word, and allow him to anchor down upon the truth of your word, the foundation, the law of your love. And give him a new awareness in his soul where there are conflicts and violations. And give him grace, Lord, to look to you to remove those things and to, again, to anchor him down upon your word and your truth. For Lord, you said that when we know the truth and we follow you and we know the truth and we continue in it, the truth will make us free. And so, Lord, I'm just encouraged. I'm encouraged for what you've done in every one of our lives here, Lord. And not only the Holy Spirit filling our lives, but also granting us grace to rest in your word of salvation in every aspect of our life. And I just pray that you would lead Tim in that. And I thank you for it, Lord. You've given us your Holy Spirit to do exactly that, guide us into all truth. And so I thank you for that. And I just praise you for the work that you're doing there. I praise you for the longevity and the patience and the perseverance that you're working in him. I praise you for the inner strength and inner rest that's going to come through this. And the testimony of people looking at his life and seeing the change because of something inside has radically changed. And that's him believing in your word and the strength of your word. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And thank you for your love for us, Lord. Build that love within us to you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Tim. Anybody else got a prayer or a testimony? Yeah, Andrew.
I just want to make a basic prayer. Father God, I pray that you control our tongues and that we wouldn't slip up in these things that we're not supposed to slip up in. I also pray, Father, that sometimes I understand that just from my human nature and people's human nature, that sometimes the simplest things in life that's supposed to take 2 minutes take a lot longer sometimes, Lord. Remind us in those days and in those times, Lord, to come to you in prayer about that. And Lord, keep us from having our minds wander. Keep us from having any following the traffic laws and the staying on the correct side of the road, and even if you're on a bicycle. Just these small things, Lord, that we ask you, Lord, to control our mouths and our minds. Sometimes our minds wander, Lord, and we don't want that anymore. We want our mind to be sharp and always ready.
Amen.
And always good to make a good confession. And we want our bodies to actually be controlled by you too, Lord, for just those items that I mentioned there and any other items that anyone else can think of, Lord. Because even in these small things, Lord, we must glorify you, Lord, to do a good job, to do what's right and to speak what's right. In Jesus' name I pray. And thank you, Father.
Amen. I have a question about bicycling. Which is the right side of the road? With the traffic or against it? Yeah, Barry.
A bicycle is a vehicle. It travels the same way a car does. It follows the same rules as far as direction goes. There's a lot of safety reasons for that, but that's the correct way to do it. Of course, walking is different. Walking, you go facing traffic. That's different. Bicycle, you go with the traffic.
Yeah. Is that one or single file, or is that 15 abreast?
It depends on where you live. It's determined by state law.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll know the next time I go bicycling, which ain't very often. I think the last time I bicycled was a long time ago. No, wait a minute. I bicycled here not too long ago. Bike lanes too, okay. Well, there ain't too many bike lanes in Tennessee. Well, there is on 411. Missy told me about though. Got a bike lane over there on 411. Thing about bicycling, the seats are way too small. You know what I'm saying? They're way too small. They need to be motorcycle size for me. Oh, my. Yeah, I've got a big high-dollar bicycle down there that my daughter gave me. The dadgum seat, a little old bitty thing. Goodness sake, man. I didn't expect anybody to stay on that thing for a length of time, for goodness sake. Just murmuring, sorry. To get me a motorcycle seat and put on that thing. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got a another testimony? Enemy's coming down, folks. Enemy's coming down. Lord, them told us they're coming down. They're bringing them down. All right. What y'all want to talk about tonight? Missy, what are you grinning about? You look like a Cheshire cat. Ain't that ain't the Tweety Bird. You had banana seeds on the box. Wow. I don't know.
That's what they had back then. That was popular, is the banana shaped seats. They were like elongated, you know, they called them banana seats. I hadn't thought about that in a long time. You got to talking about bicycle seats. It made me think of that.
I'll be done. Back home, I've got a bicycle that's got a big seat on it, one made just for me. But this one I got here is just a little old bitty thing. Anyway, go ahead, Barry.
It's Mrs. Barry. I'm, you know, just back to what we were talking about just a second ago. And about overcoming our enemies. I wanted to share the verse I got yesterday. It was from Psalm 74 and it's verse 14. And it says, "Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces." And if you've ever read those last few chapters of Job, it talks extensively about Leviathan, and it's very clear that it's Satan. "And gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness." And that's a reference to Numbers 14 and 9, where Caleb and Joshua came back and said, hey, we can take these guys. These guys are bred for us. So I'll just read that again. "Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness." Anyway, that just encouraged me about, you know, we've got the victory over our enemies.
Amen. We certainly do. It don't make any difference how big they are either, does it? Never mind. Amen. That's a good one. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this morning we had, yesterday morning we had a bunch of them that were talking about the same thing, Mary, bringing the enemy down. Bringing the enemy down. Matter of fact, David related that last night in one of the meetings. Talking about bringing the enemy down. And of course, we had I'll tell you something that I saw last night that I've never seen before in the spirit. And that was an angel in a chariot and a horse. It was all white. I've never seen that before. Anybody have any ideas about what that means? I'm thinking war. I don't know. That's what they utilize chariots for. White horse, a white chariot, and the angel had white robes that was flowing behind. You know, I don't know if you understand, but in the spirit, you could see them. You could see the horse running, but they're in place. You ever seen that? They're in place. Yeah. It's like TV. You're just sitting there watching it. They're going, but they're not going. You know what I mean? Pretty cool. All right. What else? Got anything you want to share? had a good word last night from Debbie too. She's in here. I'd get her to redo it, but I what it was. The Lord was pleased with us. Your praise and worship. Yeah, David.
It's actually something I wanted to mention because I mean, I've been repenting about a lot lately, and that word was just hitting the nail on the head. And give me a second. And when the Lord spoke through Debbie, he said that we need to have those kind of prayers more often. We need to always have those kind of intimate prayers with the Lord, because he didn't change, but we did. And I was like, when I was repenting, I was like, Lord, forgive me, you know? I mean, it's so easy to get situated, like get your head wrapped around work, things around the house, this and that. And man, the enemy loves to play that game. He loves that game. And lately it's just been, I mean, praise the Lord, by God's grace, I was able to kind of just push it all off, push it all aside. And I said, I was like, Lord, that's not my focus. I was like, I need to stop thinking about work, about things around the house. I was like, that's just distractions for me right now. And I was like, Lord, I need to focus more on you. Be focused to learn to be led by the Spirit. Because, I mean, Jesus did say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest should be given unto you. And it's true, you know. I mean, and being led of the Spirit is it's actually quite amazing. I mean, even though you have trials, but then you start looking at these trials and you're like, this is not the same trials that were back then, you know. And they start, like Michael says, sometimes they're just little bumps, not mountains anymore, you know. And that's just, it's amazing. And Lord, I pray that everyone hears from you and hears the Spirit, that still voice, Lord, increase the volume of it so we know for sure and for certain that where we're going is something beyond anything we could achieve here on this earth. And Lord, help us to focus on that at all times. Lord, not worry and not stress about these earthly things, because they're not going to stay long, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that your Spirit, you're in our midst, Lord. Lord, you're always in our midst, and we could always rely on you, Lord. And I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Boy, that's becoming more apparent every day. Rely on him. Thank you, David. I want to throw something out there, if I could, since we're talking about prayer. What is New Covenant prayer? What does that entail? Think about it. What has God told us regarding who we are and prayer and all these kinds of things? And what do we pray? I'll read a scripture out of Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and 11. And this is a real good one. This is a prophetic word, by the way. It pertains to us too. Isaiah 45, 11. Ask me of the things that are to come, concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hand. Then what does he say? Command ye me. Oh, my gracious. We can use this. We can use this. He said, ask me of the things that are to come. That's future things. That's time. We can do it now. Look at John 15:7. It's kind of like it. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What does whatsoever leave out? As David's friend Ray Taylor said, what does whatsoever leave out? Nothing. He's throwing stuff out there. When you pray, how do you pray? Do you pray just for your little area of your family and your, you know, keep my kids obedient? What have, or do you expand and get everybody? Even president, whoever. Even your governor, whoever. I remember one time I was listening to Lester Sumrall, and he would pray. These are people he knew about. He had met these people, heads of state in many countries. He'd call out their name, and Lord, I ask that you bless this one, blah, 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 and bless this one over here because he's having trouble with whatever, you know, and it just amazed me, the people that he knew. How many people do we know that we need to be praying for? I see 17, 18, 19, right now 20, right here, that we ought to be praying for. And I'll just talk for myself. I ought to be praying for. I just, you know, I'll put it all in one. I say, Lord, I just pray for the outreach. No, we need to be a little more individual at the problems that people are having. And pray for that. And believe that God's here. There's lots of scriptures in there that we can utilize. Listen, what would it be to just test, not test God, but to challenge God? To challenge God with our prayers. Challenge us, our faith, with our prayers. Can you believe for this? Well, the word says I can, so bless God, I'm going to pray it and believe it. He wants, command you me. What does that mean? Glory to God. That's a big one. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to say about prayer? Now, this ain't going nowhere. Yeah, David.
It's interesting that that verse was posted in the chat. I actually have a testimony about that verse. One morning, I was woken up out of sleep, and I look at the time, and it was 3:33 a.m. And in my spirit, I knew it was a verse. I knew it. And I, and I was trying to search it, and I started going from the beginning, chapter 3, 33, chapter 33, 3, and I kept going. And I was like, oh man, I'm already late for work, so I had to take off. And then I was like, but I still wasn't finding peace because I knew it was a verse. So I text my David and I was like, David, I was woken from sleep and I got this time. And he said, what comes to me is Jeremiah 33:3. And when I read that verse, I was just completely blown away. And I knew that Lord was trying to show me something. And then a couple days later, I was listening to the Bible, and it was at the part where Paul was speaking, and he said, I'd rather speak 5 words of my own and the rest in spirit. And I was like, Lord, that is true. I always pray on the way to work, and lately I would just start praying in the spirit, and I was like, Lord, guide my mouth to pray what needs to be prayed. And I mean, the spirit knows what needs to be prayed. And I've noticed that whatever needs to be fought down was the first thing coming out of my mouth after I prayed that. I mean, and every day it's a different war, different type of prayer, but the spirit knows what's the main target and it goes for it every time and never misses. And I mean, I thank the Lord because he's revealing many things. And like when Jesus prayed and he said, Lord, I thank you that you have hidden this from the wise or revealed it unto your own children, unto little babes. And I'm like, Lord, thank you. I mean, thank you. And whenever the disciples were trying to cast out that demon out of that boy and they couldn't, and later they asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast it out? And he said, this could only be achieved through prayer. This one could only be cast out through prayer. I mean, and it's true. I mean, the more I found myself just standing before the Lord in prayer, the more he reveals, the more you feel the power of the Spirit. And the more, and like, I mean, like Michael keeps saying, keeps talking about, I don't know if it was John G. Lake or or who that said, if you pray 30 minutes in the spirit, your immune system rises. I mean, it is true. I mean, I've been finding myself just randomly just start to pray in the middle of my work. Like, I don't know what sometimes it is. It just randomly stir and pray. And it was just, it's like an on-off switch. But, I mean, praise the Lord, you know. I mean, that's just a straight connection to God, is through prayer.
Amen. You're communing with the Father, a fellowship with the Father. Your son, you're a daughter of God. He's your father. Yeah, Judy. Oh, I thought you had your hand up.
I did. I was thinking about how to say it, so I took my hand down so I wasn't sure, but then something else was coming to my mind. There was a teaching recently. I don't know if everyone listened to all of it, and I can't remember exactly where it was, but there is a testimony of somebody who was seeing things in the spirit realm, and they saw some prayers were really wimpy, could barely make it up off the ground into the heavenlies. And then there were some that were like rockets that just went boom right to the throne room. They came up with such power and authority. And, you know, that just takes, I think, time and development and knowing who you are in Christ and knowing what the scriptures mean and how to pray the scriptures. When you pray the scriptures, when you know that that's what you're praying, even just if you're reading the word of God out loud, that's the word of God, you know, over somebody, praying the word of God over somebody or for somebody, you know, that's the word of God should be void of power, right? So That's what was coming to me. And also, when Jesus' disciples asked him, just like, teach us how to pray. There's a lot of, that's like an outline there, I think. I know we talked about that a few months back too, about the Lord's Prayer, you know. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was such a profound revelation when I got that, what that really meant. You know, so. Yes, Lord. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Jeremiah, back in Jeremiah 1:12, it says, I'll watch over my word to perform it. And if he watches over his word to perform it, then we ought to be using his word in our prayers to get quick answers. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
I was thinking what you were talking about, the new covenant. My first thought was victory. It's already been done. You can't go back on the old covenant of the struggle. But what I was thinking about, the Lord gave me on, it was on Sunday morning, quite a few things, but one thing he showed me is in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, he says that, test yourself, whether you are in the faith, prove yourself. No, you're not yourself, but Jesus Christ is in you. Then you just test yourself, whatever you do, do in faith. Otherwise, what's the meaning of this? You're not doing it in faith. Because you have to test yourself, you have to prove yourself for yourself. Not because of flesh, but because of Christ in me. I want to add. Yes,
amen. Prove yourself. I tell you what, prove God. Watch him do what you want him to do, what you need him to do. When you start using the word, you pray a lot. And like David was talking about, praying the Spirit. Just like he said, you can be walking, I can be walking along, you know, and all of a sudden my language will change. Anybody ever had that happen? Your language will change and you'll be in a more aggressive spiritual warfare type thing there for a little bit, and then you just flop right back into what you were doing. Somebody was in trouble and God was using you to pray for them. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
There is a Christian movie, I think we've talked about it before, but it's called Prayer Room.
And what?
Kind of Prayer Room.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was called Prayer Room. I might be wrong on the name of it, but this woman had a prayer room. Her walls were lined with war room. Thank you. That's what it was. War room.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
Her walls
that.
Were
I
lined
thought...
with. That was a pretty powerful, you know, tool for people. It's like, yeah, are you doing this? No. That was just a good movie for that purpose. Yeah, you know. I really like that part.
Yeah, she'd get in the closet, man. She would go to town. Which her and Jesus would get hooked up. Her and the Father would get hooked up. I got one question about prayer. Well, I think everybody knows this. Should we be praying to Jesus or the Father? Go ahead, Isaac.
Okay. Yeah, y'all hang with me. I'm working on this microphone thing. It's not right here. But,
sounding good right now.
Yeah, I guess I'm using the phone. Our phone, okay. Also. The, Well, I do remember that Jesus said, I'm paraphrasing, you'll no longer have to ask me to go to the Father, but you'll be able to ask the Father. So I might be wrong, but I do believe we can pray to the Father, right?
Yeah, you pray to the Father. That's all. You don't pray to Jesus, but you say to the Father in Jesus' name, because you're standing instead of Jesus. You're right. Anybody else? Yeah, Ben.
And doesn't it talk about Hebrews when Jesus is the high priest within our holy temple? That it's when we're praying, it's Christ that's within us that's praying, and we're his holy temple, right? Where God, he's making the, spiritually, he's making that proclamation or that prayer to the Father himself through us.
That's right. We're supposed to act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, pray like Jesus. He always prayed to the Father. I know scriptures in there that tells us that's him. Pray to him. Pray to him. All right. Anybody else on prayer? Any questions? Yeah, that's right, David. Yeah, go ahead, David.
Another thing came to mind was when Jesus told Peter and the other disciples that were with him in Gethsemane, and when he said, "Pray that you may not fall into temptation," and that's what prayer does. It helps us see and discern the temptations, and through prayer we overcome them all. And I mean, and then you put into the factor the authority that Jesus said that we have over the enemy, and it's just, you put those two together and the enemy has no chance. No chance at all. It's whenever we start falling asleep and we lack on prayer is when the enemy swoops in. I mean, he never sleeps. He waits for those opportunities. But through Jesus and his grace and prayer, the way he taught us to be, I mean, before Jesus did anything, he was always praying. He went off from everyone and he spent alone time with God and receiving more power. And every time he'd come back, he would have more power because he was with God alone. He went straight to God, and that straight connection to God, we receive more power through prayer. I mean, like that one time when Moses went up on the mountain and came back and he didn't realize it, but his face was glowing. It was shining. And people started realizing, whoa, this guy goes straight to God. I mean, he just been with God in the glory and the presence of the Lord, and he's shining himself. I mean, and it's the same with us today. We go to his presence and we're with him. We're tied with him. And thank you, Lord. I mean, just thank you, Lord. I thank God every day for having such mercy and teaching us these things.
Amen. That's a good point. Jesus' main focus was praying all the time. He would leave a crowd of people that needed help to go pray. If you remember, Judas knew where Jesus would be most of the time, would be out there in the gardens praying. That's how he knew how he could find him. Because Jesus was always praying to the Father. Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
There's a verse that kind of pops into my head. It's a short one. It's chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. It says to pray continuously or non-stopping or something like that. And, you know, it gets me thinking of, like, just day to day, like what I know it doesn't mean, you know, get on my hands and knees and just pray the day away, but like how I guess it's just something that my mind needs to get like wrapped around, because you know, like I'll be completely honest, I don't pray continuously all day long. When I'm doing my job and, or if I'm doing whatever, but you know, like whenever I'm feeling something coming on to me, or if I feel like just thanking him, like I start praying and thanking him and praising him. And, but to pray continuously, like you got to wrap your head around that, pray continuously. And so, I know it's not necessarily a physical thing that you can do all day long again, but I don't know, just something like when you really like try and think about it, like if you're going to pray continuously to the Lord, he says anything in my name, ask, you know, like it's something to think about, I guess. I don't know. There's no revelation coming out of this mouth right now, but it's just something that I've been thinking about, of just praying continuously and rejoicing always. It's, I don't know. It's interesting, just that mindset of, okay, pray to God always. Anyways.
Amen. Well, you know, some of us, you know, we pray continuously by praying in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit a lot, under my breath. And that's, I just do. I like it. Yeah, that's a good one, Pat. Practice the presence of God. Yeah.
What Ben was just talking about, I didn't fully understand what that meant. But I think I've learned over time that sometimes it just means as kind of like whatever, if you see something going on, you can't, it's just praying sometimes just in your mind about something. When you see something happening that you don't agree with or troubles you or something like that, or, I don't know. I think also, doesn't it have to do with, like from the old covenant law, they had their time of day, so certain times of day they prayed at those times. And where Paul's saying pray unceasingly. So, because obviously you can't wait till you get home, or you can't wait. You just pray about it right now. Or you drop what you're doing. Somebody calls you, you drop what you're doing and you pray for that person or whatever the need is. That's how can I see that? But maybe there's a lot more there too.
That's a good point. Go ahead, Ben.
So basically what I'm just trying to like see what Julie's saying. He's kind of like establishing, it's like it's no longer like a law-based thing to pray, but this is something that we can do always. That's what he's trying to tell everyone in Thessalonians right now. Okay. It's no longer a law, but it's love. It's not a lie, but it's a loving thing that we can go to God at any time, continuously, unceasingly. Okay, cool. Praise God.
I don't do it out of law. I just do it. I like to pray in tongues. I just shout out sometimes up here in the second floor. That's just me. Because we got the victory. When we get the victory, it's shout time, ready. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else on prayer? When's the best time to pray? Go ahead, sir.
Always.
Good answer.
Sorry, what I was talking about earlier, I'm sure I heard David talk about when it's time to pray. An Old Testament, it's an old covenant. They got certain times to pray in certain directions. But because Jesus died at the cross, he changed everything. So you've got to open heaven for anytime it's need. Well, you know, just need. Thank you. Thank him. And then go on with the day. And when it comes up in a thought, thinking about someone, pray about it. Julie says, pray about it. I learned from messages, but something in your mind, pray, stop everything there and pray for it. That's why the Lord leads you to, guide you to pray for somebody or somebody's on your mind. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
That's right.
There were times when I was at work in in the corporate world and stuff, but there were times where there were things that were happening that were just weighing on me so bad I just had to get up from my desk. I went into the little storage room that we had that wasn't far from my desk, shut the door, and I went in there and I prayed. I had to get away from everybody else, but, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, you got to just walk away and get along, whatever you can do that to. But sometimes it's just being able to do it in your heart, because that's all you have, in your mind and your heart. So, you know, it's just talking to the Lord, right? And He already knows our heart.
Did you have your little pieces of paper stuck all over the deal in there about what you was praying about?
No, that was at work. It was the supply room, so I really couldn't do that in there.
Amen. Oh. Amen. All right. Anybody else on prayer? Now, Davis.
So actually, for a long time before even my big deliverance, Michael and David kept telling me, you need to get on the offensive side. You need to get on the offensive side. And I kept asking myself, I was like, how do you get to the offensive side? Like, how do you get there? I was like, I'm trying everything, but how? And then after my deliverance, the Lord showed me, and I was like, oh, that's how you get to the offensive side. So basically, He showed me, and this actually might help quite a bit of people, is even if you're not being attacked with something, you bind it and cast it out before. And that'll prevent it from coming on you later. I mean, because I used to be like, all right, I'm good. And then I get attacked and I'm like, oh, why? But now it's like, I get on the enemy first thing. Like, I'll wake up first thing in the morning and now I'm already just going to war. And I'm like, I'm not even going to let the enemy make a move at this point. And I just go at it and I bind and cast out everything, whether it's attacking me or not. I was like, you're not even going to try to attack me now. You know, and man, what a difference. It's just amazing what a difference it makes. Praise the Lord.
You're putting them angels to work early. They like it. Go ahead, Lana.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to share a quick testimony here to the effect of being on the defensive. So tonight, as I logged on to the outreach, I was putting the boys to bed. And I thought to myself, we've had a pattern here for the last couple months. Every time I log on, the boys become a handful. And it's absolutely obnoxious just how bad it gets. And so I was kind of eyeballing the boys, and I just immediately started commanding this stuff off of them, and forbidding the enemy from using them against us tonight and distracting us from the outreach. And so shortly into, you know, having logged in, they, of course, started up with all their antics with the giggles and then the anger because they're getting disciplined and the retaliation. And this thought just explodes itself into my mind. That's it. I'm logging off. And I've always done everything I could not to do that. And the enemy would come forth and say, oh, it's just being on the conference call is more important than taking care of your kids and whatnot. And I just kind of bear through it. But tonight I was just like, that's it. I'm logging off. And I thought to myself, isn't that exactly what the enemy wants? And I thought, well, that's kind of pathetic. Like, this is what he's going to do. And then my other thought was, well, it's working. And so I disciplined the boys. I looked them in the eye. I said, that's enough. I rebuke you, devil, for using them. And I think if I recall correctly, because this was about a half hour ago, not that long ago, I haven't heard a peep from them since. So praise the Lord, and just agree with me that this is the end of it. This has been happening every Tuesday and Thursday night, literally. All the other nights are fine. And so, Father God, I thank you for delivering my boys from being used like this, because we do forbid the enemy. I bind it from happening again. And we thank you, Lord, that they're going to go to bed as normal every night going forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. We believe it, Lord. We're looking for the good report. Also, in Jesus' name. That's what I do with my kids. Oh, my. Help me, Jesus. All right. Anybody else got a testimony about your prayer life? You know, something that we should be doing every day is putting on our spiritual warfare, like Lana was talking about. And that David was talking about. That's a good habit to have to do, is to start the day outright by binding the enemy against you. I think I'm going to try that too. I need to get up and start praying in the spirit, though. I don't know. Yeah, Joe?
Well, I must say, since you told me about in the morning, first thing is praying in the spirit, it took a little bit of time just to get in a mode of praying. When it's easy, when sometimes it's, don't want to mention time, it's not going to bulk much, but sometimes it goes longer, and I think all the time is gone. I'm not sure why is it that, but that was the main thing you told me about. Well, anything, but not that thing specific is, start your morning with, spiritual, praying in tongues. That's a trend for a long time and time. Get you in the right mood for the day, for the right, not just mood, ready for the day. I didn't put it that way. But thank you.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
No, you can praise him in the morning when you get up. You know, like,
yeah.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And then give the verse there, you know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You want a blessed soul. You want that stuff in that's in your spirit, in your soul. You want all you can have in Jesus. So I do that every morning. Is do a couple of renditions of "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and I'll say the verse sometimes, and then I'll start my day. You know, it's usually coming right back here, turning the computer on, and reading the Bible. And it's a lot different when you're retired, I guess. And praise God.
Amen. That's what Smith Wigglesworth would do. He'd get up and start praising the Lord. He'd jump bound out of, he'd bound out of his bed. That's what Summerall said. Start praising the Lord. All right. Anyone else? I'd do that too, Andrew, but I'd probably wake David up. It would be good. Amen. Well, that's a good one to do. Start singing "Count Your Blessings" one by one. Oh, last night, the last song was the Revelation song, and that's when the Lord started doing stuff. Revelation song. It's a good song, but I really like that song. Seems like the Lord likes it too. Yeah, that's a good one too, Barbara. This is the day that the Lord did. Or you could get up singing Hezekiah Walker's song too. Everybody put your hands together and just praise the Lord. Just jump out of bed and start singing it. Amen. Yeah. Everybody's favorite song. All right, anybody else? We can go into Romans. Anybody know where we are?
I think we're either at the very end of 2 or just beginning 3.
Okay. Oh, that's right. We were talking about this, weren't we? We were talking about Jews and Gentiles. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter. His praise is not of men, but of God. Did we go over that or did we not? We can. What's he talking about there? Well, we know it's blind to the flesh, isn't it? Allowing Jesus to come out. Okay, I'm going to read chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, I'm going to read 1 through whatever. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much every way, first of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? God forbid. Yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. But if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who visits with wrath? I speak after the manner of men. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? But if the truth of God through my lie abounded into his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not? As we are slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose condemnation is just. All right, what in the world is they talking about then? What is Paul talking about here to the Romans? What advantage then has the Jews, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much every way, first of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. Anybody know what you're talking about here? What's Paul talking about here? Okay, let's see what it says. What advantage then has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much every way. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. God favored the Jews, didn't he? Because they did. They wrote the scriptures down at that time, at the Old Testament time. For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? Anybody getting anything here? I'm trying to read slow, so go ahead, Missy.
Well, the law was to show you that you couldn't do it and that it's God. What if some were without faith? Shall their one of faith make of none affect the faithfulness of God? It's a kind of roundabout way of saying it's not our works. God gives you the law to show you that you can't do it and that you can't save yourself. And but God's faithful. He'll save you. You know, he has made, you know, he sent his son, you know. It's to show you, you know, your sin. You know, you can't do it. You can't, you know.
Well, I think he's going to show us a little bit more for the day what you're talking about, yeah.
Grace, right. You know.
Yeah. Anybody got any other comments? Well, let's go on and see if we can get some light on. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Talking about the Gentiles. No, in no wise, for we before laid to the charge both of Jews and Greeks that they all are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their death. Well, he did say nothing good about it. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Here we go. Check it out. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it speaks to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be brought under the judgment of God, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Y'all see what he's saying there? It's what missing you see. Now he's getting into the good part. But now, apart from the law of righteousness of God hath been manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ, unto all them that believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation or a covering through faith in his blood to show his righteousness because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God. For the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just, and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. Anybody got any comments? For the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and a justifier of him that has faith in Jesus. Where then is the glory? It is excluded. By what manner of law? Of works? No. But by law of faith. Bingo. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles? Also, yea, of Gentiles also. If so be that God is one, he shall justify the circumcision by faith, the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make the law of none effect through faith? God forbid. Nay, we establish the law. What's he talking about? That Christ came to fulfill the law. Okay. Well, we got through that one, didn't we? All right. Anybody got any comments on what I just read there? He's talking about the law. That against what faith that God gave us through Christ. We're justified by faith, but not by the law. Yeah, go ahead, Ozzy.
You know, being justified by faith and not through the law and the works of the law. Have y'all ever read in Luke 19 about Zacchaeus? I may have said that wrong, but in Kentucky, that's accurate. So Zacchaeus. I actually just read this the other day. I've read it before, and that's the great thing about the Bible is, and sometimes the astounding thing, it's like, but I've read it, and I've read it, and I've read it again and again, you know, at times past, and why is my eyes are just being opened this time for this, and it just kind of blows my mind, but it just kind of also just how, you really need grace to understand the word. And, it's really a miracle. But can I read something about, Luke 19? Sure. I don't want to get off, okay. I think it really has to do with this. No works. And it goes here. It says 19, and he entered and was passing through Jericho. And Jericho is important, but we'll get to that. And behold, a man named Zacchaeus, behold, a man called by name Zacchaeus, and he was chief publican, and he was rich. That's important. He was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. You know, really, the rich in the eyes of the kingdom are of little stature. It's not, it's those of faith, as Jesus goes on to talk about in verse 9 is, today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. That's the stature that God's looking for. But anyways, moving on. It said, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd because he was a little stature. And he ran on before. Oh, and something of little stature you might know about Jericho. Do you know Jericho is the lowest city in the world? It's the city, how to make this make sense, below sea level. No city is further below sea level than Jericho. None. Because it was also a below place, right? And it doesn't matter about the rich and their stature or their city or their strongholds. Or not strongholds, but their, you know, you get it. Surely there's a parable. But you're following along. So here we go. And it says, and he ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree. And because we're talking about works here and the rich is typically you know, cares about their works and what they do. And something that's funny about the sycamore tree, because I was just really thinking about this and trying to research it. In that area and in Israel, sycamore trees didn't derive from there. They were propagated by man, and they have to be propagated by man because they will not grow naturally. And it just kind of, why was a sycamore tree important there? Why was that put in there? But in those regions, because I think it come from Africa, in those regions, it has to be propagated by man. So anyways, he ran on before and climbed up to a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Well, that's awesome. He received him joyfully, as we should. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he has gone into lodge with a man as a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood, and this is the whole works part. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said, and here's what's so important about works. And you would have thought that justified him. Well, I'm assuming he was thinking Jesus might be like, yeah, you're right. That's awesome. You're going places. But here's what Jesus said. And Jesus said to him, today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For a son came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was that day, because he received him joyfully. It wasn't because he half his goods to the poor and if he ever exacted anyone. He restored fourfold. It wasn't any of those works. It was just that day because he received him joyfully. And I just thought about that when I was reading it and how it really kind of really parallels with faith versus works. And that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Pat, did you have your hand up, Robert?
Yeah, I was. This has been always a hard chapter for me to understand. And I guess it was. We're just in chapter two, they're talking about the hypocrisy of the Jews, and they thought they were righteous by the law and were rather judges of the people, etc. And of course, Paul's talking to Christians here, which are living in the same generation that this whole process was happening and separating. And, the temple was still standing. It was, tattered and torn the day of the crucifixion, but it was still standing. It wasn't until, 70 AD when the Romans the Roman government came in and tore it down or whatever it was. So I think there's kind of a time frame thing maybe that's happening here. And maybe it's a little bit harder for us to grasp since we're 2,000 years separated. And, and in between that time and now, the Jews had lost their nation, and that whole thing dissipated, and later on in the 40s they were raised back into a nation and given a nation, etc. So there's a lot of ground that. So I'm just thinking that this chapter is maybe speaking to those Christians now that. We're thinking, this maybe they were getting a little critical or something, or, looking down on the Jews and, and that sort of thing. I haven't put it all together, but I think I'm thinking that these verses or this chapter is maybe addressing some things that were happening in the Christians at that time. You know, he starts out and says, well, what advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is circumcision? You know, much in every way, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that whole process of the Jews and the nation and was given to us by God as an example to speak to us in the importance of separating, you know, acquiring that relationship with God that's not based upon a set of do's and don'ts. And if I do good enough, then I'm good enough. And if I don't do good enough, then, you know, I need to try harder, et cetera. In that whole mindset, which is kind of the normal thing that we come from. And the Lord, after birthing us into his kingdom, has to separate us out of that awareness, I guess. So I don't really have anything to, you know, to add to the thing, except I think it's a perspective 2000 years ago, and maybe in that separation. I haven't learned to absorb that, what he's teaching here, I guess, because I don't understand maybe the perspective or what he's getting at. So anyway, that was all I had. Sorry to add to the confusion.
Well, no, it's okay. I'm fine. Yeah. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
So in chapter 2, he talks about the circumcision of being in the heart now. And these Jews were entrusted with the circumcision, which is a ceremonial law that they all had to go through, all the males. And of course, now it's a spiritual law where the heart gets circumcised through God's word. And to get this circumcision in your heart means you're bearing fruit, and it's part of your crown. And this fruit circumcises your heart. And if you read where it says that they were entrusted with the oracles of God, we're supposed to, isn't there another verse with oracles? That it says there that when we speak, we're supposed to speak as if with the oracles of God, always. You know, and so we're entrusted with this entrusting, but you know, that with the oracles of God, it's for us now, and this is how we define all things, by the oracles of God, and this is how we define all too, all of us, because you know, living is the word of God and active, and it's supposed to be active in us. I have a note here, I just put faith and grace. You know, faith is Christ in you, believing, faithing through you, and grace is all you can be in Christ. So We have access to that faith, that grace through faith. So faith is progressive and grace is progressive. You know, God is faithful, you know, as for the next verse on faithfulness, where their unbelief make void the faithfulness of God. Of course, God's going to give you new revelation. He's going to give you this faithfulness. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one. So there's a lot of nice faithfulness verses. Come on, guys. I don't know if we're all drawing a blank, but I will say something about this chapter. When people start getting to that verse 9 and going all the way to verse 18, you know, it's almost as if, and I'm just saying as if, they're trying to put people back under the law in some of these churches. Because they always shout some of these words here, you know. And it's not a good thing to get confused, because he's giving all these verses here and they're all describing the flesh, the lawman, you know, the old man, the man of without grace. And these verses can throw off a lot of Christians if they don't read it right. And we have to realize that the key verse is there. And this is why I think this is the first time we read the whole chapter, that he made an emphasis on verse 20, 21 here and 24. And it really, you know, I think that the key verses to this whole chapter is after 21, you know, where he's trying to relate to the mostly Jewish people here, that he's not without understanding of the law, but it's the fulfillment of this law now. And as you know, some laws are ceremonial, and some of the laws are behavioral. And both have to be the fulfillment through grace. And the ceremonial is completely different. The word is different. The wording is different. But the law, the fulfillment of the law, the behavioral laws are the same. But the fulfillment, of course, is the grace. And one of the biggest graces that you can receive is the love of God. And so we have to look at all these verses with the love of God, as John says, 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And of course, the ceremonial law changes, as circumcision changes here. And of course, the behavioral law, it doesn't change the behavior. It's just how it's fulfilled in us. The fulfillment is through the faith, which is Christ, and the grace, which is all you can be in Christ. So there's a lot of people who read this chapter 3 and they get really messed up after it. Because when you've been exposed to legalism so much, it can jump back on you in these verses. But you have to have the right mindset of faith and grace and the love and all the fruits of the Spirit. Because I believe what he's trying to do here is he's trying to show what the Jews were, and now what a Christian is, what a disciple of Jesus is, what a saint is. And let's not forget, you know, he's trying to impart into them some spiritual gifts and or some spiritual fruit also, as it says in chapter 1 of Romans. So I think that this is something But, you know, you look at some very key verses here, like 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus. So that really explains it all. And 25 goes in all. It's the last end part of this from 21 on that I think is what should be highlighted very much so. And anyway, sometimes, you know, you got to look for a key verse for the whole chapter. Sometimes it's in the previous chapter too when it comes to circumcision here. Anyway, because we know that the verses at the end of chapter 2 about circumcision, there is a the circumcision is of the heart in spirit, not in letter. We know that that's also that this word is supposed to be the spirit of the word, all of it, even this chapter 3. So we're not of the letter, but we're of the spirit. So he's using a allegory or parable of the Jews here on how you're supposed to be the fulfillment of this word. And the dangers of being a lawman, I would say. That's how I read it, because that's the way I have to read it, because if I don't read it any other way and start going back under the law, which is something I had a problem with quite a bit. Yeah, so glory to God. Yeah. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Anybody got any questions or any answers? Yeah, Pat.
So as Andrew was talking there, it kind of I went down to the end there, and I guess my conclusion is that maybe the Christians were starting to become, and rightfully so, starting to become maybe critical of the Jews. Obviously, they just, you know, the Jewish religion and whatnot just crucified the Lord, albeit he raised 3 days later and blew that whole scenario apart, but nevertheless, maybe there's an antagonism or you know, something, a spirit against the Jews, and maybe Paul trying to bring it about, the understanding that number one, don't be quite so harsh on them, because you're no better than they if you are judging them in that way, because we all come from the same mold, the same sin. And he puts that forth in the last, the being justified. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, etc. And trying to, I guess, bring that point out. And then where then is glorying? It is excluded by what manner of law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And trying to, I guess, move the Christians into, an understanding or maybe a perspective shift here to realize that we all come out of the same mold, and that it is by the law of faith that we are justified by, in God. One of the verses that I was looking here at the end, which I'm still not quite sure I understand. Well, I know I don't understand it, but it's in verse 30. It says, It says, if so be that God is one and he shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. I have to think about that one for a while because I'm not quite sure, you know, what Paul's talking about that. But anyway, I guess I'm just, maybe it's kind of formulating in my mind that, you know, Paul's kind of trying to correct something by bringing us down to a point of understanding this is by all by faith, and we have no right to be critical of anyone, even if God is using you know, certain people or the Jews or that religion to accomplish his purposes. We're still under the hand of a mighty God that uses all kinds of vessels to perform his work and to bring his story to its fruition here. So anyway, I'll shut up and give the floor to Joe.
Yep. We'll try it. Like we all are. Okay. Anybody else? Got some understanding here. Maybe we got some understanding. The people's revelation. So he's trying to get him out the law, get him into faith. Justified by faith. Then we get to 31. Do we then make the law of none effect through faith? God forbid. May we establish the law for that. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, you see, because, you know, the law, which we have no business to be in, because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the law can really bring a person to a place where God's going to have to show them now that they have belonged. We were all once tricked by law, and what he's going to do now is he's going to have to show them that they're under the law. So he's going to have to give them the letter of the word. And the law will register your flesh to come up in you. But what the law does, when you're under the law, it'll suppress it. And that'll make it really bad for you. So you just have to remember you're redeemed from the curse of the law. And it's faith you now have, because faith is Christ in you. You're Christ now. And even that Christ in you, Jesus said, think that I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And he fulfills it by faith. And it's given to you by grace. It's a whole different ball game. And this is why sometimes we're shocked when Christian people do something that they're not supposed to do, because they're supposed to know better. They're supposed to have the grace of God to overcome these things. And we are to have the faith of being in Christ. This is what we were given, new life in Christ at the cross on that day when he came to the Lord. And I'm just putting that in there, adding that to you, because you'll even have some Christians will say, well, that's against the law. Well, no, it's against the grace. It's against the grace of God. And it makes you kind of wonder sometimes when people say, well, that's against the law. Well, maybe somewhere in their denomination, they might have a bit of law there. So it's a speech thing that comes out of your mouth, because this is what the Lord's correcting in us, and he has to correct it all. You know, you could be so far into this law thing, legality, that you meet these people. You know, they think they're legal experts, and they'll rail on people, and they won't consider that this is a spirit that's in them. That's religious. And, you know, because you go to all the religions, you know, they all have some sort of legislative law. But we have a sacrifice, and we have the grace, and we have the faith, and we have a new life. And this is something you really have to concentrate on when you're a baby Christian and you read this verse, in this chapter, it can throw a person off, you know. And when I knew we were going to study a book in the Bible, I thought we would have picked something simpler, like maybe Galatians or Ephesians, you know, maybe to start something with us, something with a nicer flow. But this is where you really have to think a lot when you read Romans to maintain your focus. And you know that the Lord's word is a blessing, or could be a blessing or a cursing, but we want it to be a blessing to us. We always have to look for the grace and all those fruits of the Holy Spirit is what the Lord wants to deliver to you. And none of them are the law, because at the end of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it says, long suffering, and these are the fulfillment of the law. Somehow, can't remember the verse, but I have to recite the whole thing to remember. But you know, love worketh no ill to his neighbor; therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now that's in Romans 13, you know, and so. We really have to. There's no law in any of those nine fruits. So, but you know, you get thrown off because you know some people will say, "Well, you're just trying to put me under a law." No, I'm only trying to correct you through the grace that God has given me. And you know, it's just you know that people will say, "Oh, you're making up a new law." You know, you can have some people accuse some other people about being legality Christians, you know, and they're not, you know, and if you do that, what's going to happen there? You know, you don't accuse someone about being legality, but you have to make sure that who you're talking to, because there is a lot of Christians under the law, and you have to convert that to grace, you know. And anyways, that's my two cents.
Praise God, we got another chapter to go, because I think it starts hearing things up. Praise God. Well, Lord, we just praise you. Thank you. By the way, Andrew, you'll have to thank Missy for Romans. We'll just thank her for that. That's fine, though. I want to. Romans is good. We got to go through it. Romans, it'll clear up as we go along here, if you see. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for tonight. Thank you, Father, for these hard lessons that we learned, hard chapters, seemingly, but
Lord, when you read the whole thing, it makes a little more sense. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for placing in our hearts to pray, and to pray with biblically speaking, with the Word of God in our hand, the sword. We use the Word as the sword. Praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we do have the victory. We believe it. We have faith to believe it, Lord. Praise you. We glorify you for all that you're doing and each and every one of us getting ready for this great bride that's coming on the scene. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, all right, saints, good night. God bless you.